Voters this fall are choosing who will occupy the state's two financial offices, treasurer and controller. Even during campaigns, these positions rarely get much attention. In fact, their very existence usually comes into question in proposals to merge the offices into one. Years ago, one person was in charge. For this week's Illinois Issues Report, Sam Dunklaw tells us how that all changed.
Let's go back to 1970. Illinois was in the midst of a constitutional convention, and delegates from across the state were rewriting the rules of state government. It hadn't been done in nearly a century. There was special focus on who would handle state finances. That's because Illinois had recently been robbed blind. The story behind why Illinois has a separate state treasurer and comptroller office is one filled with fast moves, fancy cars, and fraud.
They were dealing with the history that involved mass embezzlement by one of the elected auditors of public accounts, Orville Hodge.
That's political science professor Kent Redfield. He's a leading expert on Illinois government and its history. He mentioned a name that's crucial to all of this, Orville Enoch Hodge, who held the now abolished auditor of public accounts office between 1952 and 56. In just 4 years, he stole an estimated $6 million taxpayer dollars, about $56 million in today's money.
It was one of the early big public scandals, because we had this run of public scandals from sort of 1970 on, with all these governors going to jail.
That's Chris Mooney talking there, a political science professor at the University of Illinois in Chicago. He and Kent Redfield agree. Illinois has two offices for money handling because Orville Hodge proved one person couldn't be trusted. Hodge was raised in Granite City. Before getting into state politics, he inherited a business from his father and was a financial success. He was personable and outgoing, once called a golden boy of the Illinois GOP. Many were stunned to learn a man that had so much had stolen so much. Here's how he did it. As the auditor of public accounts, almost every dime Illinois government spent went through Hodge. He would check to see if the expense was legal, write a check, and mail them out. Except a lot of those checks were written out to him. The president of a friendly bank in Chicago would personally deposit the cash into a secret account. Once he had the money, Hodge spent it on more than 24 luxury cars and 2 private jets. He bought pricey real estate in Illinois and Florida and threw extravagant parties for Springfield insiders. To keep the legislature off his trail, Hodge handed out jobs and fudged his accounting records, which, as Chris Mooney reminds us, is a big problem.
If you don't have good accounting control set up, the darker angels might rear their heads, or you want to make it hard on people. You want to make it difficult for them to do bad.
But it wasn't difficult to do bad, and that's the really mind-boggling thing about Hodge's crimes. They were par for the course in Illinois. Pilfering of the state treasury, payroll padding, and other graft was going on all the time, but the scale at which Hodge was able to do it made him unique. Good old Orv, as he was called, was eventually found out. Illinois investigated for decades to come up with a final accounting of Hodge's theft. Kent Redfield says the scandal left uneasiness in its wake.
There was a concern about, who audits the auditor and how do we get better fiscal control.
So when the auditor of public accounts office was brought up at the 1970 Constitutional Convention, the state just got rid of it altogether.
And that led to these two offices, one being basically the one that has the checkbook and the other one that invests the money.
That checkbook handler Chris Mooney is talking about is called the comptroller. To ensure a Hodge situation would never happen again, both the treasurer and comptroller have to sign off on state expenses, called warrants.
We're getting two people in the mix in terms of money flowing out of the state treasury. And so the idea is to provide more oversight.
But as memory of the scandal faded, so did memory of why Illinois has two financial officers. It's faded so much that there's been almost perennial talk of merging the comptroller's office with the treasurer's. It would take an amendment to the state's constitution to get it done, but some claim it could save Illinois millions of dollars a year. Redfield seems game for it, but Mooney's a bit less optimistic. He says Illinois has a lot more to worry about than combining the state financial offices. Plus, those who believe in keeping the offices separate have history on their side. No one wants another Orville Hodge. I'm Sam Dunklaw.
And to learn more about where the candidates for those two offices stand on merging the offices and other issues, you can read the full Illinois Issues article a bit later this morning at willnews.org.